So, hey, good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us online again this Sunday for our message. Listen, if it drags or gets caught or snags, freezes up, just stop it, go back to the beginning, restart it, and everything should be fine. Listen, last Sunday, pastors all across the nation were basically going online for the first time. Many of them had never done this before, and so all of the platforms like Facebook, YouTube, different private servers just basically froze up and crashed because so many people were watching online at one time. We hope that they've got their act together this time, and that doesn't happen. So anyway, I wanted to welcome you again to online service. Today we have a powerful message from Erica Dees, and she's going to bring a message to you called God's Contingency Plan. It's the third message in our From Fear to Faith series, and it really speaks to what's going on in our nation right now at this time. I respect the call of God on people's lives, and these two people, Joe Pileggi, who brought an incredible message last week, who, by the way, if you missed it, it's online at ourdestinychurch.com or dci.life. You can go there and listen to it. It was called The Resurrection of Hope, and man, I'm telling you, it was powerful. This Sunday, as Erica is ministering to you, she's a powerful prophet. She's going to bring the message to you, and it's going to be amazing. So I just wanted to respect and honor these two mighty men and women of God for the gifts that God has for them. I truly respect them, and I hope, I know the message, if you'll open your heart to it, it's going to really minister to you today. I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about giving. We take time in our services each week to focus on giving, and we try to give a little teaching segment each week to help us grow in the gift of giving. Paul said that he loved it when the church excelled in the gift of giving. So it's a gift. It's really an honor for us to give God and worship Him with our resources. And so in this segment of Live to Give, we are going to be talking about the five characteristics of a biblical giver. So each week we've kind of gone throughout March and we've talked about what it means to be a biblical giver. And we talked about how at first, biblical givers are resourceful. That means that you can't give something that you don't have. So God says He will put resources into your hands of those who will give. The second thing that we talked about is biblical givers are actively involved. Like, we see needs and we pitch in wherever we can serve, wherever we can give. We express our generosity, not as passive and watch everybody else do it, but we have a heart to dive in. Biblical givers are also self-sacrificing. We usually look for the needs of others to help out with those, and we're willing to give up what we would take for ourselves and sacrifice that when the need arises. The fourth thing that we talked about was biblical givers are joyful, that we give with an exuberance, an excitement, a cheerfulness about giving. We actually get excited about ministering to others out of our abundance. And today, I want to just talk to you for a few minutes about the characteristic of obedience, because biblical givers are obedient. I remember a time in my young adult years. I was in my first year of college. My parents had begun to teach me about tithing and how important it was to tithe. And so my very first job, I remember tithing from the very first time I got a paycheck. And it was very important in my family that we put God first in our giving. And so I remember I had used all my money for the week, and I really didn't have any money left for gas. And I was fairly independent. I had my own car. I was traveling to college. I had my job, and I used my money for gas to get me back and forth to college. So I was pretty self-sufficient as a young man. So I knew I was really out of money, and I had like $10, $11, that was my tithe, and I could use that gas to get me to school. Now, this goes against all logic, but this is how important my parents had raised me to be faithful and trust God. It came time for me to give in the offering, and I knew that I had my tithe ready to give to God, and I knew that was enough to get me to college, which was about 45 minutes away from where I lived, back home. But if I gave my tithe, if I paid that into the offering and was faithful, I wouldn't have gas money. I would have enough to get me to college, but I wouldn't necessarily have gas enough to get me back. So I would look at being stranded on this long, narrow country highway in Mississippi. But God had given me such faith, and my parents had instilled such faith, I gave anyway. I gave in obedience. So I go to school, 45 minutes away from where I live. I'm on my way back home, and I'm telling you, the gas handle is on E. And I'm like, God, I'm going to be flying in on fumes. I know I'm going to run out of gas. I prayed the whole way home on that 45-minute drive. I made it all the way home. I was going to eat lunch and then go to my little job as a sales clerk in a local store. And right before I went, I would always go to the mailbox and check the mail for my mom and bring the mail back to her. And when I went to the mailbox, in the mailbox was my tax return that I had filled out my taxes. It was the first time I'd ever paid taxes, and I got it. And my little tax return was like $115, which was basically what I had paid tithe on the day before. And so that was a lesson to me as a 17-year-old of God's faithfulness. When we're faithful to God and we put our trust in Him, God will reward our obedience. 1 Samuel 5:22 says, "What is more pleasing to the Lord, your offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to His voice?" Listen. Obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than your best offering. God always looks at the obedience, our heart of the matter. He's so much more pleased and blessed when we are just obedient to His word. So I want to thank you for your obedience. Thank you for growing in the gift of giving. I want to pray over our gift right now. Holy Spirit, thank you for blessing our church. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for blessing businesses, blessing our jobs, blessing our families, God, blessing us with a healthy body that we can serve in different ways. God, call us to obedience, speak to our hearts, and Lord, all of the gifts that are given online and in person this week, whether people come and drop their giving off or mail it in or give it online, God, bless all of the gifts that we give today, and may they be used to expand your kingdom in incredible ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, here is an incredible message coming up right after our announcements. Check these out.
Good morning and welcome to Destiny Church Online. We're so glad you chose to join us today. Wherever you're joining us from, welcome to our online audience. We would love to invite you to join us on campus once we resume live services. If you're watching for the first time, drop us a digital connect card at dci.life. During this crisis, it's more important that we stay connected than ever before. We will be communicating on our Facebook and Instagram pages at dci.daphne, our web portal at dci.life, and via e-news, our weekly email update. It's vital that we have an accurate email for you if you want to receive our weekly update. Again, you can fill out our digital connect card to update your contact information at dci.life. As with any crisis, needs arise. When they do, we will be the church and rise to the occasion to help. If you would like to help with needs, or if you need help or know someone who does, you can share that information at dci.life. Click on help and we'll get back to you promptly. Our small groups, social events, and trainings are being rescheduled during this time. As the all clear is sounded, we will be sure to communicate those new times and schedules to you. This week's message will be available right here online. You can watch at dci.life or on Facebook at dci.daphne. During this crisis, it's more important that we stay connected to each other. This is a great opportunity to show love and compassion. Pastor Reif is challenging us to pick three people to check on this week: an extended family member, an unchurched neighbor, or someone from your Destiny Church family. Pray with them, encourage them, and see if they have any needs. We can be the hope and light people need. Giving is such an important part of our worship between us and God the Father. Our giving is vital for the church, especially as we go through such a challenging time. Thank you for your continued faithfulness during this season. You can give in the following safe and secure ways. Give online at dci.life. You can text any amount to 84321. You can mail your giving, or you can bring your giving to the church and place it in the drop box just outside our administrative office doors. However you give, thank you so much for your faithfulness and continuing to worship the Father with your resources. Don't forget, you can find out more about these and other news and updates at dci.life and our social media pages. Thanks for tuning in today. Enjoy the rest of the service.
So we would like to take this opportunity to honor our leaders, Apostle Reif and Pastor Shay Stewart, and Pastor Greg and Selena Warren. And we just want to welcome our Destiny Family Church International and viewers for what God has to say to us now. I'm going to be talking to us this morning. I'm doing the third part of our series, From Fear to Faith. And so this morning, the Lord gave me this word. It's entitled God's Contingency Plan. I thank God for the process of how he delivered this word, because leading up to this time where I was scheduled to minister, Holy Spirit began to minister to me about what he wanted to say as I was preparing for another meeting. And then he didn't allow me to minister in that meeting. And now I understand why, that it was for now. It was for this time. So I want to talk to you this morning about God's contingency plan. Our scripture text is going to come from Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. Now, many of you know it in the King James Version, where it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. They are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end." The New Living Translation says it like this: "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." In the business world, corporations develop a contingency plan. Now, the purpose of this plan is to take into consideration unforeseen circumstances or events that, if not properly managed, could be catastrophic to the life of the business. And so the objective of this plan, this contingency plan, is risk management. For example, a CEO unexpectedly dies. There's a succession plan in place that if something happens to the CEO, it provides review and execution for uninterrupted operation. There's a person that's going to take that position. I remember a time in my life when I was 14 years old and my father passed away and he died. It was such a dark season of my life, a season of dark depression. I didn't know how to get out of that place. I didn't know direction or what was happening to me. But now I understand that God had a contingency plan. He knew that despite the season that I was in, despite that I didn't see the plan that he had for me, he knew that he had a plan for me. And he knew that one day that he was going to use me to be a minister of the gospel, to share his word to the world. And so here we are today. I just want to let you know that God has a contingency plan. But let me share this with you. The value of a contingency plan is also the value of communicating this plan to those who are directly involved in its execution. It's a leadership model. The scripture says it like this in Romans 10 and 14. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings, which is good news of good things. I want to tell you this morning that a preacher is also a reacher. It is someone that simply proclaims, declares, and announces good news. I understand that we're in a season, but mostly what we've been hearing has not been so good. We've been hearing a lot of bad news, but I stand to declare to you that there is good news. There is hope. God has a plan for his people. And so God is asking us, he's asking you and me to declare his plan, regardless of what the media is saying. Declare his plan, regardless of what the consensus read. Declare his plan, regardless of what you're feeling emotionally right now. He is saying, declare the plan. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We believe, and therefore we speak. And so when I believe something, I must speak it out of my mouth. When I believe something, I must declare it out of my mouth, because what I'm releasing out of my mouth is a spirit of faith. I know you believe that words are just not words. Words are spirit that takes on, they become our world. We begin to create our world with our words. Jesus says, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So it's important that we speak, that we begin to declare, that we begin to announce, that we begin to proclaim over whatever we're hearing, whatever we've been reading. We must begin to declare the word of the Lord. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings, good news of good things. So we must begin to become the voice in the earth and declare what he's saying. I want to tell you this morning that Romans 10 and 17 says that faith cometh by hearing. And not just hearing, but by hearing the words of God. As we begin to declare what God says, we are depositing faith and dispossessing fear. I'll say it again. As we begin to declare what God says, we are depositing faith and dispossessing fear. Do you know that fear sits around and serves as an intruder? It's waiting for an opportune time to encroach upon the people. So fear waits for a moment where you're weak, where I'm weak, where we're weak. It waits for a moment where we're not declaring what God is saying, that we're hearing what someone else is saying. And it waits for a time to find the entryway to just intrude and begin to make itself an inhabitant of who we are and where we are. But how do I contradict the fear that the enemy is trying to bring in my life? I must make sure that I'm hearing and declaring the words of God. It's not enough to hear it. I must also declare it. So as I begin to hear and declare it, what God is saying, I am dispossessing fear. I am putting fear out. I am saying you cannot, there is no vacancy here. There is no place that you can stay here. I am dispossessing its right to be in my life. And so God is asking us that we must begin to operate in faith. Number one, we must operate in faith in his word, which is his plans for us. And number two, we must operate in his love. We must know the love of the Father, because when we know, when we have an understanding of his love, then we know there are certain things that 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near my dwelling. Though I'm experiencing, though my body may be feeling something, my heart is settled, my mind is sound, because I know that he loves me. The scripture says that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casted out fear. That word casted in the Greek means to expel, to drive out. Do you know that love is a person? That love is a spirit? The Bible says that God is a spirit and God is love. So love is God. God begins to step in the place where we have partnered with the fact that he loves us. We have come into agreement. I know he loves me. I know he loves me. When I understand how deep his love is for me, I don't allow myself to participate in the fear that the enemy is trying to send my way. Perfect love is spell. That's with force. That's a violent action. He begins to drive out the fear that the enemy is trying to send our way. The Bible says in 2 Timothy that God has not given us the spirit of fear. Well, if he's not giving me the spirit of fear, then that means that I don't have to receive fear. If he's not giving me the spirit of fear, then I can reject fear. Well, if he's not giving me the spirit of fear, what has he given me? He has given me power, love, and of a sound mind. Power, love, and of a sound mind. If you notice, that love is always at the center. Why? Because his love grounds me. His love centers me. His love keeps me focused. His love keeps me assured. His love keeps me secured. When I feel like giving up, when I feel like I'm dying, when I feel like I'm perishing, when I feel like I'm losing, his love whispers in my ear and reminds me that I will not let you perish because I love you. The scripture says that for God, John 3:16, you know it, for God so loved the world, ED, past tense, proactive. God so loved the world that he began to take action, that he gave his only begotten son. And here's our part, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. So he loves me, but I must believe that he loves me. He loves me. I must partner with the fact that he loves me. I must come into agreement with the fact that he loves me. I don't care what's going on in the world today. I am centered because he loves me. I am grounded because he loves me. I am okay because he loves me. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that he's already developed a plan for my life. He's already made arrangements for me. He's already arranged my security, your security, because he loves us. And the Bible says it like this, that he gave his son not to condemn the world, but through him that the world might be saved. That word saved means so-so. That means nothing missing or nothing broken. He wants us whole. Every part of our mind, every part of our body, every part of our soul, everything about us, God says, I want to make sure that you're all put together because I love you that much. So God's contingency plan is Jesus. The government's contingency plan for natural or disasters is FEMA. It is Federal Emergency Management Agency. That's the government contingency plan. But God's contingency plan has been, always will be, Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus. He didn't wait until we got it right. He didn't wait till we made a decision for him. He already made a decision of how he's going to act on our behalf. He loves us. And because he loves us, he plans for us. Jesus is God's contingency plan. plan. Jesus is the answer for what we're experiencing. Jesus is the answer for every problem. Jesus is a solution for every situation. Jesus is the answer for every circumstance. He's the answer. Jesus is the answer. I want to tell you some things about God's contingency plan. Number one, it has three components to it. Those components are instructions, insight, and inspiration. Again, God's contingency plan has three components. Those three components are instructions, insight, and inspiration. Jeremiah 29:11 was written in a time where the Jews were in exile to Babylon. And Jeremiah, which his name means Jehovah is exalted, or Jehovah overthrows, or Jehovah establishes. So God was establishing his plan in the earth through Jeremiah the prophet. And the Bible says that while they were in this time of exile, God began to speak to Jeremiah through inspiration to write. It was his only form of communication. It was the only way that he could communicate with the Jews that were exiled to Babylon. You know that Babylon means confusion. It is a place where there is mixture. So they were in a place where there was nothing familiar. And God said, I want you to begin to write to my people so that you can provide them with instructions. What are instructions? It is detailed information telling how something should be done or operated. Again, instructions are detailed information telling how something should be done or operated. It is, in its simplest form, directions. So God, through the prophet Jeremiah, began to give instructions are directions to the Jews that were exiled in Babylon. And watch what he tells them. In Jeremiah 29:5, he says, this is what your instructions are. Build homes. Plan to stay. Plant gardens. Eat the food they produce. Marry and have children. Then find spouses for them so that you may have many grandchildren. Multiply. Do not dwindle away, and work for the Lord peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you to exile. So he begins to give them detailed instructions on what he wanted them to do while they were in exile, while they were held captive, while they were quarantined, while they were in bondage. He began to give them instructions concerning their life, his destiny, and his plans concerning where they are, where they were, and where they were going. He says, I know that this is a time that it seems oxymoronic for you to begin to buy land. It seems like it is an odd thing for me to tell you to go ahead and build a house. It seems like it's an odd thing for me to tell you to go ahead and marry. It seems like it's an odd thing for me to tell you to multiply where you are. But you must understand, in Genesis chapter 1, God's original plan for man was to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So he comes back in Jeremiah while they're experiencing a place of captivity. He said, I still have the same plan for you. I want you to multiply where you are. I want you to be fruitful where you are. I'm saying to someone this morning that you're saying, I have these plans for my life, but it seems like I'm not going to be able to do it. I want to encourage you that God has a contingency plan. He's already taken in consideration the unforeseen circumstances that we did not see. God already knew about it, and he says, I've already put it down in my planner. I've already made arrangements for you. There are things that I've declared over your life, and I have not changed my plans. Just understand, listen so that you can hear the instructions, so you can know how to navigate through this process, because I do have a plan. I do have instructions for you. His plans include instructions. Number two, his plans include insight. I want to deal with the insight portion before I deal with the inspiration portion. Insight is an ability to see into a thing. I'm not talking about surface level seeing, but when you talk about insight, it is the ability to see deeply into a situation, to see deeply into a circumstance, to see deeply into an era. So insight deals with seeing into something. And so if we look at Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 10, in this letter, God begins to give insight. It goes back, he says, this is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 17 years. Wow, I had no idea that I was going to be in this situation for this long, God. I had no idea that I had to plan or rearrange my plans, God. But he said, this is how long, he deals with the time, that you're going to be here for 70 years. Now, I'm not telling you that we're going to be in this crisis for 70 years, but I am telling you that if you listen to, you press in to know what God is saying, he'll provide insight. And some of us, he will even give a time period. So insight deals, he tells them the time frame, and he also tells them the turnaround. He says, but then, here's the hope, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised, and I will bring you home again. That's the turnaround. So I know you feel homeless right now. You may be in a house, but no place seems like home. But I came to declare to you this morning, wherever you are, that he's saying that I'm going to bring you back home again. That's part of my plan, to give you a future and a hope. I have a plan for you, and I want to give you that plan. I want to provide you with the insight concerning my plans for your life. The third component of God's contingency plan is what we call inspiration. Now, inspiration, when it is divine, it is a supernatural force that causes a person or a people to experience a creative desire. Again, when inspiration is divine, it is a supernatural force that causes a person or a people to experience a creative desire. Some of you have been feeling creative lately. You've been feeling a burst of creativity. Well, I want to go ahead and finish the book. I want to go ahead and launch a business. I want to go into web designs. I want to do some things that are creative. That's to be like God. That's God nudging you and telling you, step into this creative realm, because to be creative is to be like God. And so he begins to inspire his people where they were by giving them hope. Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the plans for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. Oh my God, I thought I was going to perish where I was. The psalmist says that I almost fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. I didn't necessarily see it, but I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So right now, in God's plan, he's given Jeremiah inspiration to write, and he tells them, tell them that I know the plans that I have for them. There's been a lot of voices going around. You've heard a lot of people say a lot of things, but those are not my plans. Here are my plans. My plans are to give you a future and a hope. If he's saying that he's going to give me a future, that means that I'm not going to die where I am. That means that I'm not going to perish where I am. That means that though I may feel like the world around me is caving in and I see innocent lives are being taken, but God says, I'm going to give you a future. I'm going to give you a hope. Just stick with my plan. Just understand. Press to know it. Press to know what I'm saying. Seek me for the insights. I want to give you the ability to see into this thing. I want to inspire you to even create in this thing. I have a plan for you. And he says that my plans are for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And this is what he says, in those days when you pray, here's a turnaround, when you pray. Mark, I think, says that whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray, believe you receive and you shall have them. My inspiration for you right now is that you pray. I know you don't understand it, but pray. I know that you don't feel like it right now, but pray. He is inspiring us not only to create, but he's inspiring us to go deeper in the area of prayer. Go deeper into the place of prayer. Some of you are saying that I'm going to create this prayer journal. I'm going to track God on some of the things that he's done, and we've not done it. And God said, this is a time now that you begin to pray. Don't just pray for yourself. Pray for the world at large. So he says to them, he says that, in those days when you pray, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to listen. If you look for me, not half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly, you will find me. The King James Version says that you will find me after you have sought me with your whole heart. You will seek me and find me when you have done it wholeheartedly. So the bridge between seeking and finding is making sure that our whole heart is in it. God knows when we're partially in a thing. He says, okay, I'm going to wait until you get to the place where you've given me everything. That it's not part of you. That you don't give me the things that you don't want, but give me the things that you love as well. It's the sacrifice. The bridge between seeking is finding, is putting your whole heart in it. So he says, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. And listen, here's the good news. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes, everything that you had, your possessions. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land. It's going to feel like home again. It's going to feel like something that you were once not just familiar with, but something that you knew God said. He's going to begin to restore his promises unto you again. But what is the prerequisites? I must pray. I must pray. Regardless of how I feel right now, I've got to pray. Regardless of how it looks right now, I've got to pray. Because God has a plan, and his plan is to prosper me. I want to say to you that in order for us to know God's plan, and we have a role in his plan. The Bible says in Genesis 1 and 26, and God says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over every creeping thing upon the earth. So God's plan for us is to dominate. Wherever we are, we're supposed to dominate. And I'm not saying be the person that takes over. No, I'm saying bring God's mind into that place. Bring God's thoughts into that place. Bring his influence into that region. Let people see the kingdom distributed through you. This is God's plan. How do I gain access to God's contingency plan? Number one, I must press to know his plan. What does it mean to press to know something? It means to move or cause to move into a position of contact with something. And in this case, someone, by exerting continuous force. It's not anything that I'm doing hazardly or not anything that I'm doing from a lazy place, but I'm exerting energy. The Bible says it like this, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. So how do I press? I move closer to God when I pray. I move closer to God when I worship. I move closer to God. I press in to know his plans when I study his word, because his word is his law. His word is his thoughts. His word is his plan. His words is his heart towards his people. So I begin to know what he thinks. I begin to know what he loves and hate what he hates when I press in to know his plans. Jeremiah 33 and 3 says, call unto me and I will answer you, but you must first call, and I will show you great and mighty things which you knowest not. There are things that we do not know. There are things that we do not understand. But the way that we're going to know these things, the way that we're going to gain the insight, the instructions, and the inspiration of God's contingency plan is that we begin to press into him, call unto him to know those plans. The second point, the second way to access God's contingency plan, I must partner with his plan. How do I partner with something? And what does it mean to partner with the thing? It means that I make an expression of agreement through my actions, not just my words. One passage of scripture says, you people praise me, but your heart is far from it. So I partner with his plan by agreeing with his plan through my actions. The scripture says in John 10 and 30, I and my Father are one. I become one with him. I say what he says, and I do only what I see him do. And then this last and final thing, I must practice his plan. What does it mean to practice his plan? It means that I apply it. I make use of it. I exercise it. What I've been aware of, what he has said to me, I begin to practice it. Mary said to Jesus in John chapter 2 and verse 5, she says, whatever he says to you to do, do it. And so I'm telling you that whatever God is asking us to do, we must do it. We must begin. If we're going to know God's contingency plan, we must press in to know his plan. We must not only press in to know his plan, but we must partner with his plan, and we must practice his plan. God never leaves his people without a plan. And so if we're going to know his plan, we must press in, we must practice, and we must partner, because as we know his plans, we will respond in faith versus react in fear.
Wow, what a powerful message from Erica. I love the fact that God never leaves us hanging. God always has a plan. Man, this stuff did not catch God by surprise. Not only the coronavirus deal that we're experiencing right now, but nothing that we ever have gone through in our life did it ever catch God off guard. Doesn't mean that he caused it, but God's word says that he causes all things to work together for our good. Doesn't matter what you've gone through, God will always bring it around into something positive. I don't know what you might be going through today, but if there's a situation, I want to just challenge you to tie into what Erica said. Let's hone into God's plan. Let's hone into God's word. Let's hone into the fact that God loves us. I want to pray for you. And if there's anyone today that you might be watching that you are not at a place where you're solid in your relationship with the Lord, you may have been a Christian and maybe have just drifted away from him, or maybe you might be watching, there might be somebody watching today that you've really never experience that level of love that she's talking about. But I want to assure you, God loves you so much. Can I pray with you? Holy Spirit, thank you for your love. God, thank you. I pray today through this screen that people will sense the overwhelming love that you have for them. God, you love us. You're not a man that you lie. You never lie. When you say you love us, unconditionally, you love us. Holy Spirit, I pray that if there's anyone today watching that they're far from you, or maybe they've never been in relationship with you, that right now they will accept the sacrifice that you made for them, Jesus, on the cross, that God, in his great love for us, made a way, his son, to be the perfect sacrifice. He was the only one that could pay the debt for us. And that sacrifice was because God loved us so much that he brought us back into right relationship with you. Holy Spirit, if we right now will accept that sacrifice, that Jesus is our Savior, then we become the sons and the daughters of God. Holy Spirit, welcome them back into the family. They don't have to understand everything right now, God, but if they will just accept your great gift for them, that today they can know that their name is written down in the eternal book of life, and that they will spend an eternity with you forever, and that they are become heirs, and that every promise in the book, the scripture, is theirs. Holy Spirit, if there's any today that they're still going through fear over this whole situation. Or maybe some people lost their jobs. Maybe they lost money in the stock market, God. Maybe they're scared about the virus or their health, or they know someone who has gotten the virus. Father, I speak peace over them right now in Jesus' name. And we declare faith. As Erica said, we declare the word, what the word says, over our lives and our situations, and not what the circumstances are. So Holy Spirit, thank you. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. So guys, thank you so much for joining us. Until you hear otherwise, we'll meet right here next week. God bless you.